We are on the Rambam Hilchis Avodim, the Law of Slaves, Perek Tes, Halacha Dal, Chapter 9, Law 4, and with Hashem's help, we will finish the Book of Kinyan today. Good time to end it right before Purim. Okay, we're going to discuss other ways that you come upon an Eved Kanani. Melech Goy, a non-Jewish king, Sha'asa Melchama, he makes a war. Vehevi Shivan, he brings captives. Umachara, and then sells one of the captives to a Jew. That's one scenario. Vehein, and similarly, Im Hirsha, Lechomi, if this non-Jewish king, he permits anyone of his kingdom who goes to battle. Shirtzi, Shielch, that they want to go. Vehignov, Meuma, and go steal somebody, kidnap somebody from another country. Shehu also Milchama, that they're making a battle with them. Okay, the king says, listen, all the troops, we're going to attack this country, and you could take who you want. You have my permission. He could sell it for himself. Whoever comes with me to the battlefield, you schlep whoever you take back, and you could sell them and make money. Situation two. Situation three. Or if the law of the non-Jewish land was, anyone doesn't pay taxes, he sold as a slave. Fourth situation. Or the king says, if you do such and such a crime, Oloyasar didn't do what he had to do, Yimachar, he gets sold. Hare dinov din. Those judgments are judgments, and therefore, if a Jew happens to be the buyer, ve'evet hanilkach bedinim eli, and a servant who's bought through these judgments, hare hu kevet knani lechol dovor. He's like an evet knani in all matters. However, there's one little eeny weeny difference. In Halacha Hey, you'll see the difference, which we already foreshadowed in the last chapter. Goy shekona goy la'avdus. If a non-Jew buys another non-Jew for the sake of making him a slave, as opposed to a Jew who buys a goy, the law is lo kona gufo. He does not buy his body. Ve'ein lo bo ela ma'aseyadov. He really only has the work that he does. That's the way it works out, and that's what we mentioned later. So if that slave ever tries to get free, it's a lot easier to get free because nobody really owns his body. However, afal pikein, still and all, should the non-Jew who owns the non-Jewish slave sell him to a Jew, then this non-Jewish slave gets, I don't want to call it upgraded or degraded, I don't want to say, but either way, he sends Jew hare gufo konsol. Then when the Jew buys him, the body of the slave belongs to him. So he now becomes a full-fledged Eved Kanani to the point that the Jew owns his entire essence. And that's why we said if this non-Jew slave decides to go to the mikvah and free himself, And therefore the Jew takes him to the mikvah for the sake of being a slave, he owns his whole body. While a non-Jew cannot own the whole body of another non-Jew. That's the halacha, and I can't tell you the reason why. But in other words, when a Jew buys a non-Jew, he owns him entirely. Now, the non-Jews will say, what do you mean? I own him too. Yeah, but you know, for them, they don't care more about money. In other words, in the non-Jewish world, it doesn't go beyond money. Because what is anybody worth but their money? A Jew, it's more. It's more than money. It's his whole essence. So when a Jew buys him, that brings him into mitzvahs, as it were. Why does, if a non-Jew buys another non-Jew, the non-Jew is not chayiv in mitzvahs like a woman, right? If a Jew buys him, there's already some connection to ownership of his soul, as it were. And therefore, he has a deeper connection to the non-Jew. And there's greater potentials of him becoming possibly Jewish later on in the game.
So only, therefore, if the Jewish owner takes the slave and to the mikveh and says, I'm toveling you for the sake of being an Eved Kanani.
Yes.
He acquires both. But even if a goyish person takes him to the
mikvah, nothing,
and says, I'm acquiring
it's nothing.
Slave, he's done nothing.
It's nothing. It's nothing. Okay. Yes, sir. So, we're not leaving tonight till we finish the chapter. We can ask all night questions. I'm okay. I have no problem. I had supper ready. Go ahead.
When it says a Gentile king here wages war, so I'm wondering about like what happened in Africa with British and whatever. Like the British said, go ahead, you know, take all.
So they owned them as a slave.
No, but nobody really. It wasn't a king over that kingdom.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't be a king. They did
it's the government.
It's the government. They did. They give it the permission of the government.
But they weren't the legal government of.
Doesn't matter. They were the law at that point. They're the law of the land.
Law of the land.
There's no other law there. Right? What makes a king have a right more than anybody else? If the guy's got power, he's got power. Okay, now as far, although a man may acquire an Eved Kanani, how about a Jewish woman? Can she acquire an Eved Kanani? Halacha Vav, technically yes, but rabbinically no. Ha'isha Koina Shvachas, a Jewish woman may acquire for her non-Jewish women as maid servants to be a Shivcha Kananis. However, lechatchila veina koina avodim, she is not allowed to acquire men, non-Jewish servants, afilu ketanim, even their youngsters. Why? Because of suspicion. In other words, what's a woman doing buying Eved Kanani men? You're going to start talking that she's probably getting involved with not proper activities. However, bidi Eved, im kansel, she does buy the non-Jewish man as a Canaanite slave, the buying is a buying. She has acquired his body just like a man. Now, that's the halacha. The Rambam makes an advances a further theory. It really appears to me, the only prohibition is for her to buy a servant who's 9 years older, or nine and over, because they are royal labia. They're capable of having intimacy. However,
kids grow up.
It doesn't matter. The commentaries seem to understand that. Doesn't matter. Even what they weren't machmer on this. Remember, the whole thing is a rabbinic decree to begin with. So now the kid's a 7 year old. He's going to grow up, okay, but we're going to go that far to push the rabbinic decree. They don't do it. V'chein aser, also, there's another prohibition. Finally, we come to it. Even though we've been talking the whole last few prokhim that if you do free your Canaanite slave, but there is a prohibition. La'adam, for a Jewish man, l'shachar Eved Kanani, to free a Canaanite slave, even to free him to become a Jew. V'cholam is shachar, anyone who frees him over ba'ase has transgressed the positive commandment, shenemers, it says in the Torah, le'olam bahem tavodu, you shall work them forever. Non-Jewish Canaanite slaves should be slaves forever.
So in the Gemara that they transgress.
Hold on. V'im shichru. And if they free him though, mishuchrar, he is freed. Right. As we've already been learning in this whole last few chapters. B'di'evet, you know, you didn't have air, but you freed him. And once you freed him already, and now we'll force him to write a document of emancipation and all the ways we mention it. Now, there are situations where you are permitted to free the slave, and this could be the stories you're thinking about. Okay. You may free him if it's for the sake of a mitzvah. I feel a mitzvah shall devray him, even if it's a mitzvah that's only rabbinic, such as the famous case. Don't shalom how you are sir basic class. What if you don't have 10 people in the shul? Okay? Harezem a shachar after. You may free your slave. That's the story with Rabbi Eliezer, who went into the shul and he freed his slave. They make him free. So you could do that. So if it's for a mitzvah, you need that. So you have a minion. Vechenko, is there anything similar to that? Now the rabbis ask a question, the commentaries ask a question. How is it that it's a rabbinic mitzvah? This is only a rabbinic mitzvah having a minion. How is that override a mitzvah, say, doraisa of not to free a slave? So the commentaries say that the whole issur of freeing an Eved Kanani is only because if he does it for the benefit of the slave, because there's another aspect called lo sichanim. You're not allowed to do favors for non-Jews. You don't give a gift for free to a non-Jew. But if you're doing it for his own needs, where he needs a minion, then there's no issur. The only issur at all only applies if it's not for your benefit. But if it's for your benefit, so for a mitzvah benefit, then the Isser doesn't even begin. Yes. Vechein shifra. How about a Canaanite maidservant? There's also a time where it's a mitzvah to free her. For example, if she's a Canaanite maidservant for you, shenoyah baham minig hefker, but they're treating her like a hefker woman. She's being taken advantage by men in the street. She's now going to set up an obstacle, a stumbling block for sinners, because there's immoral activities going on. So now what we can do, koyfines rabo, you can force her master, umeshachar, and he frees her. Why? Kadesh tinase, so that she will get married to a Jew, v'yasur ha-michshol, and take away the stumbling block, v'chein kol ke'etzuvaza. You know, it depends what neighborhoods of town you live in. Not all Jews are created equal. And therefore, there are some Jews who would, God forbid, take advantage of a Canaanite woman. And this would be very big averos. And if you see that's happening and you don't have the power to stop it, you got to marry her off to somebody to avoid the problem. Yes, Mark.
When we started at the very beginning this whole of Adim, you were saying that we shouldn't have in mind like our stereotypes of slavery in Egypt and all that, but this is a lot more refined. It does seem pretty refined for Jewish slaves, but life doesn't seem very good for the Canaanite slave. It doesn't.
Why?
They can never get out of it. And umpteen examples throughout of how it's a lot, how they're treated a lot worse than the Jewish slaves. We've had many, many examples that they
have. We
haven't we?
Up to now,
haven't we?
Such as
okay, I'll come back with it. I mean, a lot of times
freedom.
You're referring to the slaves as
freedom.
You're referring to them as it's not a lot of times. The Canaanite slaves, that they're a piece of chattel that just, you know, and we're using them to breed and et cetera.
Because that's their tikkun. You see what happened. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Shelly's here, will get upset, so I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just saying that if the Torah writes that the only tikkun for Canaan is to be a servant, that means that's for his best interest. Okay, not everybody. Hashem has, not me. Hashem has decided that it's not in everybody's best interest to be free, because freedom is a responsibility, and if you can't be responsible, you shouldn't have it, and you will destroy yourself and you'll destroy the world as we see this happens. So therefore, that's what the Torah is telling us. And Evet Knan, the Knanim are cursed. They have terrible morals. The Torah says it. I didn't say it. So the Torah is saying we've got to find a way to deal with them in a way that it's appropriate for everybody. At the end of the day, the servant who has his life taken care of him and doesn't have that freedom, doesn't have the freedom to kill and murder and steal as well. And that's very important. And it's very not liberal-minded, and the Torah is more liberal-minded than the liberals. Because the liberals liberate, which causes destruction. The Torah wants to keep peace, and that's how you keep peace. It's not politically correct, but it's emes. It's emes. This is what the Torah. I'm not saying it's what the Torah says. And you see historically, this is what happens. Okay, so that's what it is. Now, of course, we will see. You're going to have a big problem, Mark, when you come to 7 coming up. And there, I'm going to insist you don't ask anything until we end the chapter. Oh. And you'll see why. You'll see why, because I see where this is heading. But wait till we end the chapter. Wait till we end the chapter. I know you're going to jump. You're going to jump in a minute. I know what's coming up. Just sit tight. Zion. Because you're not going to like the next line. You're not going to like the next line. Zion. But you can't learn Zion until you learn Ches. I'm not going to take any questions until we finish Ches. Because this is like... Yachal HaRav.
Even though it's 8, we have to do 7.
The master may say, Lomar, love to say is can. I said a Jewish master tell this can slave, I say imi, you work for me, ve'eni zonoch, and I'm not going to pay you. I'm not going to feed you. So the guy said, well, how do I eat? Ela yelech go ve'yishal b'sochem, go beg. Ve'yisparnes min astocha, and get from the tzedakah. Why? Because we know Shisrael Mitzuvim La'achos Avonisem. The Jews are required to keep alive the servants that live amongst them, and that's based on a Gemara that says that, you know, you should have mercy on them. But this is very unusual. What's going on over here?
Who's so Gemara, not having mercy?
Mishnah qualifies this by Medrin. When do we say this? By Vodov with his servants. Because here's an interesting rule. You know, what if a person decides to take his Ferrari in front of everybody, just release the brake and push it down a hill. And it's going to go over the cliff and be broken.
His Ferrari?
Is a Bezdin required to send people to chase it down and save it from destruction? No. Because an adult, if he wants to destroy his property, he's entitled to. So therefore, we're speaking about Vada with his servants. Shane Bezdin is cocking Ligdol Nishmarmon, because Bezdin is not responsible to watch adults protect their assets. Therefore, you know, if he doesn't want to feed his thing, that's his problem. If he's not going to feed his servants, v'yashkem, give him to drink right properly, hey, they're going to run away. Are you Muslim? They're going to die. And therefore, the general rule is, usually the person himself will watch his own money more than anybody else. No, it's best, and so a certain degree, they are considered like property. They are considered like property. If the guy doesn't want to take of his property, so don't take care of his property. All right? You're not killing him, but you're being very foolish, because the Canaanite slave's not an idiot. You're not going to feed him. He's going to run away. That's all there is to it. And, you know, and he's going to run hard. And or if he's a really dumb Canaanite slave, he'll just sit there and die. But that would really be dumb. Well, he didn't give me to eat, so I'm going to die. But what's happening is the owner is being foolish because he's not even from a monetary point of view. He's not taking care of his property. And therefore, he's likely to lose it. So, but that's only if it's own property. And he's causing damage to himself. Okay. But if a wife brings in Canaanite slaves into the marriage as nichse magluk, where the husband, what, is able to use it and he has no achrayus, he has no responsibility, then he's not going to care if the servant would die. It ain't his servant. So therefore we say, no, they have to give him to eat because it's not yours, as it were, to let it go and be finished. Because on that condition, the wife brought it into the marriage. You're not going to destroy them. If you don't feed them, they're going to die and run away. And the husband is not obliged to be responsible, so he has no skin off his nose. Therefore, we force him to feed. But if it's nichzei tzon barzel, where he has achrayus, he has responsibility, then again, we wouldn't force him, because if he's going to lose it, he's going to lose some money, he's going to have to pay his wife back, so that's his problem if he wants it. So this part, you really see they are really treated like a priest of property. However, and it gets even worse before it gets better, Mark. Halacha ches. Mutar lavod be'eved k'nani b'farach. You may work with the eved k'nani, the work of perach. Hard work, which we already defined before. Remember we said if you tell a guy to work, you don't tell him when you're going to finish. Remember we said you have to tell him how long to work. If you don't tell him, that's avodas perach. A k'nani, you can treat him with perach. He's not a yid. Now, that's according to the letter of the law. Even though that's the letter of the law, midas chasidus, the measure of piety, v'darkei chochma, and the way of wisdom, she'adam rachamon, a person should be merciful, v'rodev tzedek, and he should run after justice, v'lo yachbid ulo alavdo, he should not make the yoke on his servant too heavy, v'lo yetzlo, he should not pain him, v'yachileu, he should give him to eat, v'yashkem, give him to drink, mikol machol, from any food, and mikol mishra, from any drink. Chachamim Rishonim, the early rabbis, how you know Sim Le'evit, they would give their kananim, we call tavshel v'tavshel, from each and every food item, sha'ochlim, that the masters themselves were eating. It's from the Jerusalem Talmud. It tells Rabbi Yochanan would eat a certain meat, and he'd give it to his servant as well. He would drink wine and give it to his servants as well. So you see that the great Tanoim acted that way. More than this, and they would give the meal for their animals and servants before they'd have their own meal. Harei Omer, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, just like the eyes of the servants are to the hands of their masters, so the maid servant, her eyes are to her mistress. The dot dot dot. The rest of them says, so are our eyes to Hashem.
Right.
And therefore, we want Hashem to help us, so we should help them as well. And similarly, this is all we're saying is common sense that we should do. Lo yiviseu bayad v'lo bedvarim. You should not shame him with your hand or with words. La'avdus misarim, because the Torah only gives him over for service. V'lo labusha, not to shame him. V'lo yarba lav tzok av kas, and you should not yell at him too much, and you shouldn't get angry at him too much. Eliyadavrim benachas, you should speak to him with pleasantness. V'yishma tanosav, and listen to his complaints. V'chein meforish bedarche Iov, and so it mentions in the way of Iov, had told his good ways, shishtabachan, that he was praised for it. He said, im emas mishpat avdi, have I ever shunned the judgment of my servant, famosi, and my maidservant, beriva medide, who quarreled with me? Halo babeten osani osahu, isn't it that the one who prepared that which that he did, Vayechonanel Berechamech? I don't know what's how does your English translate that pasuk?
Have I ever shunned justice?
No, the next part. The next part.
Did not he who made me in the belly make him? Was it not?
Okay, so the someone who made my belly made his belly. So I have to have mercy on him. Ve'enu achzoris v'asus, and cruelty.
Made in the belly. It's made in the uterus. You're from inside the
so
person.
So they're both.
Yeah, they're both inside. So
Hashem made them both.
That's it.
Ve'enu achzoris v'asus, and cruelty and brazenness is not found. Ela begoyim, only by the non-Jews who are ovdei avodah zarah, worship idols. Avol zara shalav rino, but the descendants of Avram, vehem Yisrael, they are the Jews. Shehishpi alam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tovas haTorah, that Hashem gave us the benefits of the goodness of the Torah. Vetzivosam, has commanded them, bechukim v'mishpatim tzadikim, in righteous ways. Rachamim hem hakol, they have mercy on everyone. And so it is of the attributes of Hashem, who shetzivanu, he commanded us, lidamus lahem, to emulate him. Right? Who Omer, he says, and what does it say about Hashem? Verachamov al kol masav, Hashem is merciful on all of his creations. And therefore we should emulate that. V'cholam arachem, and all who have mercy, merachem elov, Hashem will have rachmonis on him. Shenemer, as it says, v'nosan l'chol rachamim, he will give mercy to you. V'richamcho, he'll have mercy on you. V'hirbecho, he'll give you more and more mercy, etc., etc. So even though according to the technical law, they are treated as property, according to the technical law, again, if you will injure an Eved Kenani, you have to pay. So you can't beat them. That's clear. You cannot beat an Eved Kenani up. If you want to be yelling and scream at them, according to the din, you could. But you see how the Rambam ends. You should treat them properly. But again, we can't legislate rachmonis. We can legislate, you can't financially break them, as it were. You can't hurt them. You can't do that. So that's how the Jewish people look at slavery. And that's for the Eved Kenani. It's for their benefit, and we should treat them properly. And that's what he's saying, although we can't legislate it. So I hope that's a happy ending to this topic.
Very happy. Now Mark wants to get his question.
60%. Okay. So we finished the book of Kinyan. Shkoyach, everybody. Big schuss to finish this right before Purim. And then we will begin tomorrow, Zroim. Kilayim.
Rambam, that's what I meant.
Oh, 60. So that's after 10 years. No, yeah, more. Yeah.
We're tenure.
Okay, we have tenure. Okay, Shkoyach, everybody. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha, 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 Rabbi Ch